Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A significant hike in petrol and diesel prices has just been announced, the first upward revision in over 4 years, and this is likely to have far-reaching implications for India's economy and energy security. First, let us look at the details of this price hike. State-owned oil marketing companies, such as Indian Oil Corporation, Bharat Petroleum, and Hindustan Petroleum, have increased petrol and diesel prices by 3 rupees per liter each, effective 15 May 2026. This hike is a result of global crude oil prices crossing $110 per barrel, largely due to the conflict in West Asia and disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz. As India imports approximately 87% of its crude oil requirements, the oil marketing companies were collectively losing around 1,000 crore rupees per day at the pre-hike prices. What makes this significant is that the last hike in petrol and diesel prices was in 2022. Remember this number, Delhi's post-hike petrol price is 97 rupees and 77 paise per litre, and diesel is 90 rupees and 67 paise per litre. This is relevant to your GS3 preparation, covering energy security, inflation, and fiscal policy. Now let us turn to the historical context of another important story. The Indore bench of the Madhya Pradesh High Court has declared the Bhotshala Kamal Maula Mosque complex in Dhar district, a Hindu temple dedicated to Goddess Vagdevi, also known as Saraswati. This 242-page verdict relied on an archaeological survey by the Archaeological Survey of India, which found over 1,700 artifacts and 37 Hindu idols. The original Vagdevi Murti is actually in the British Museum, London. This verdict raises questions about the Places of Worship, Special Provisions, Act, 1991, and its implications are likely to be far-reaching. But why does this matter? The Bhojshala was built by Raja Bhoj of the Parmara dynasty in the 11th century CE. The Muslim petitioners have announced that they will challenge this ruling in the Supreme Court. Note this carefully, the verdict has significant implications for the interpretation of the Places of Worship Act, 1991, and its 1947 cutoff. Moving on to what this means for conservation efforts, the Wildlife Institute of India and the Assam Forest Department have released India's first satellite tag Ganges softshell turtle into the Brahmaputra River at Kaziranga. This marks a significant milestone in conservation efforts and is funded by the National Geographic Society. The satellite tag will track the turtle's seasonal movement patterns and identify critical habitats. The scientific name of this species is Nilsonia gangetica, and it is listed as endangered on the IUCN list. Remember this fact, 5 of India's 8 softshell turtle species are found in Kaziranga. Now, let us look at the progress of a significant initiative. Tripura has become the first state in India to complete all 51 priority areas under both Phase I and Phase II of the Cabinet Secretariat's National Deregulation Initiative, launched in January 2026. Key reforms include the expansion of white category industries from 41 to 130, and the coverage of 72 services and 14 inspections under the Swagat platform. Land use categories have also been reduced from over 100 to just 10. This is relevant to your GS2 preparation, covering governance reforms, ease of doing business, and cooperative federalism. And here is something that surprises many students, the European Union has included India in its revised draft list for aquaculture product exports, effective September 2026. This is under the EC Delegated Regulation, EU, 2023 by 905, which pertains to antimicrobial residue compliance. India had been excluded from an earlier EU draft list in October 2024 due to concerns over antimicrobial resistance. The EU is India's third largest seafood export market, accounting for 18.94% of total export value, which was $1.593 billion US dollars in 2025-26, with a 41.45% year-on-year growth. The apex body for this is the Marine Products Export Development Authority, or MPDA, under the Ministry of Commerce. Now, let us turn to the latest development in West Bengal's politics. BJP MLA Rathindra Bose has been elected unopposed as the Speaker of the newly constituted 18th West Bengal Legislative Assembly. This makes him the first Speaker from North Bengal in the state's history. His name was proposed by Chief Minister Suvendu Adhikari, and Pro Tem Speaker Tapas Roy conducted the proceedings. Note this fact: the election of the Speaker is governed by Article 178 of the Constitution, which pertains to the state legislature. With that background in place, let us look at the latest update on the Census 2027. India's Census 2027, the first digital census and the world's largest enumeration exercise, is currently in Phase I, which involves house listing and housing census. This phase will run from April to September 2026 in rolling 30-day state windows. For the first time, citizens can self-enumerate digitally via the website say.census.gov.in before the enumerator visits. Phase 2, which involves population enumeration, is scheduled for February 2027. The nodal authority for this is the Office of the Registrar General and Census Commissioner of India, or ORGI, under the Ministry of Home Affairs. Remember this fact: the legal basis for the census is the Census Act, 1948, which is listed under the Union List, Entry 69. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CE20 engine is not relevant here, but we do have some important numbers to note. The last census was conducted in 2011, and there is a 16-year gap by 2027. The Census Act, 1948, is the legal basis for this exercise. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? It is worth pausing here to note that these current affairs topics are not just important for your UPSC preparation but also have significant implications for India's development, economy, and environment. In conclusion, these stories highlight the complex and interconnected nature of India's development, from energy security to conservation efforts, and from governance reforms to census exercises. The implications of these developments will be far-reaching, and it is essential to stay informed and up-to-date on these issues.